Bhagavatam, the king of all literatures, Canto 2, Chapter 8, which is entitled Questions by King Parikshit. I'd like to read a few verses from this chapter. Maybe since we have little time, I'll just read some of the translations. King Parikshit inquired from Sukadev Goswami, how did Narad Muni, whose hearers are as fortunate as those instructed by Lord Brahma, explain the transcendental qualities of the Lord who is without material qualities, and before whom did he speak? The king said, I wish to know. Narrations concerning the Lord who possesses wonderful potencies are certainly auspicious for living beings and all planets. Text 3. O greatly fortunate Sukadev Goswami, please continue narrating Srimad Bhagavatam so that I can place my mind upon the Supreme Soul, Lord Krishna, and being completely freed from material qualities, thus relinquish this body. Text 4. Shinvata shadaya nityam grinantascha swachestitam kalena nati dirgena bhagavan vishate hridi. Persons who hear Srimad Bhagavatam regularly and are always taking the matter very seriously will have the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, manifested in their hearts within a short time. Please repeat. Persons who hear Srimad Bhagavatam regularly and are always taking the matter very seriously will have the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna manifested in their hearts within a short time. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Cheap devotees, or materialistic devotees of the Lord, are very much desirous to see the Lord personally without meeting the requisite qualifications. Such third-grade devotees should know well that material attachment and seeing the Lord face to face cannot go together. It is not such a mechanical process that the professional Bhagavatam reciters can do the job on behalf of the third grade materialistic pseudo-devotee. The professional men are useless in this connection because they are neither self-realized nor interested in the liberation of the audience. They are simply interested in maintaining the material establishment, a family attachment, and earning some material benefits out of the profession. Maharaj Parikshit had no more than 7 days to live. But for others, Maharaj Parikshit personally recommends that one hear Srimad Bhagavatam regularly, nityam, always by one's own effort, and with serious devotion always. That will help one to see the Lord, Sri Krishna, manifested in one's heart within no time. Gurave Gurachandraya Radhikaya Tadalaya Krishnaya Krishna Bhaktaya. Tadbhaktaya namo namaha. Pasanjaham maho nityam paraparada dharmakaha. Kshamashramam hare radha dehime sadudharmakam. I'm an offender. To offend others is my nature. O Radharani, please forgive me. Please change my nature. Please make me a saintly devotee. Madgavir api gopala svikaryat kripaya jadi tadaiva sambhaya pitva rishayustat priyajanaha. So this verse describes the effects of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Shrinvatam shudaya nityam. That for those persons who are shudhaya, who are hearing with faith the Srimad Bhagavatam and nityam, they're always hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. It's not something which we finish reading the book and we put it aside. But we always hear Srimad Bhagavatam. And it doesn't say, it doesn't speak here about reading. It speaks about hearing. Shinvatam shudaya nityam. Grinantakshas vacheshticham. But also by taking some endeavor, we have to do something. If someone does like this, then Bhagavan Vishate Hridi, then Krishna will very quickly appear in the heart of the devotee. This is a very, very special thing. We should understand the science of hearing. Maharaj Parikshit, he is considered to be the ideal listener of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Rupa Goswami, in his Padyavali, text 53, he says that Sri Vishnu Shravane Parikshit, he speaks about 9 different persons who have achieved perfection, and Sri Vishnu Shravane Parikshit, Parikshit Maharaj, attained perfection by hearing. He wasn't a brahmachari, he wasn't a sannyasi, he didn't live in the ashram of the guru, he had many wives, he was a king surrounded by great opulence. But he achieved perfection just by hearing. And his hearing was very, very intent. Jiva Goswami, in his Bhakti Sandarbha, he says that we should understand what is Shravana Adhikar, the qualification to hear. Otherwise, as Narottam Das Thakur says, Sunile na Shunakana, that someone is hearing, but they're not hearing. Once there was a king who someone came to him one day and he said, Maharaj, I was digging in my backyard yesterday and I found a human skull. I didn't know what to do, so I'm giving this to you. King took the skull and he called for his ministers. He said, I want to know the person whose skull this was he Vidvan? Was he a learned person or was he a murkha? Was he a fool? You tell me. And if you can't tell me, I'm going to cut off your heads. So with that inspiration, the ministers were quite enthusiastic to try to figure out the problem. One of the ministers finally spoke up. After all of them were quiet, how do you understand if he was a learned person or a murkha? He said, I can tell. Please give me a piece of straw. And so they brought him a piece of straw, and he inserted the piece of straw in one ear of the skull, and he pushed it, and it came out the other ear of the skull. And he said, he was a murkha. He was a fool. So Sunile na Shunakana, the sound vibration is going in one ear, but it's coming out the other ear. What is Shravana Adhikar? Who has the qualification to hear? Krishna describes this in the Bhagavad Gita. Tadvari pranipatena pari prashnina sevaya upadekshanti gyanam gyaninas tatvadarshanaha. That you should try to understand the truth by approaching a guru. And you should inquire from him submissively and render service to him, and he can reveal the absolute truth to you because he's Tattvadarshina. In his commentary in this verse, Sridhar Swami, he says, Aprokshana Bhava Sampana. The Tattvadarshi means someone who directly sees God, not just their thinking about it or some imagination, but Aparokshana. Aparokshana means directly seeing. Aparokshana Bhava Sampana, that's Guru. In his commentary in this verse, Srila Ramanujacharya says, Panipata pari prashna sevadi bir vishadikaram gyanibhyo vidhi. He says, you'll learn not just by hearing, but by performing pranipat, by offering obeisances to the person who's speaking, by pariprashna, submissive hearing, and by seva, by serving them. These are the three things which are required for Shravana Adhikar: pranipat, pariprashna, and seva. If we don't do these three things, then we have no right to hear. Don't think that hearing Srimad Bhagavatam is something like going to the university and studying some famous book. In Durban, we were speaking a little about this, and I mentioned how when I was in school, I was studying English literature a little, and we studied the book 1984 by George Orwell. It's a famous English book. And you may master that book. You may read that book 20 times. You may study it so many different ways. And you may say, yes, I've mastered that book. But you can't master Srimad Bhagavatam. This is Grantharaj. This is the king of all literatures. And Krishna Tulya Bhagavata, Vibhu Sarvashroy. Just as Krishna's Vibhu, so also is Srimad Bhagavatam. In Chaitanya Bhagavat, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he says that Premamoyi Bhagavata, he says this Srimad Bhagavatam is simply made out of Krishna Prem. Premamoyi Bhagavata, Krishna era Sri Anga. It's an Anga of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, part of his body. Tahate Kahana Jatta Gopya Krishna Ranga. Who can understand Srimad Bhagavatam? Again, in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur, he describes Mahachinta Bhagavata Sarva Shastikai Ihanada Buji Vidya Tapa Pratistoy Bolo Hare Krishna. Bhagavata Buji Heno Ja Achigyan Sena Jani Kabu Bhagavatera Praman Hare Krishna. Mahachintya Bhagavata, that Srimad Bhagavatam is Mahachintya. It's completely inconceivable. You can't understand Srimad Bhagavatam. Sarva Shastri Gai. This Shastra can't be understood. Iha na buji vidya tapa pratishtoy. Not by your mundane understanding, not by your scholarship, not even by your penance can you understand Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavata bhujihino jar achigyan sena jani kabu bhagavatera praman. If someone's not a devotee of Krishna, no matter how good a scholar he may be, he'll never understand Srimad Bhagavatam. And therefore, Lord Shiva, he said, aham vedni, shukavedi, vyasavedi, navedi va. I understand Srimad Bhagavatam. Shukadeva Goswami understands Srimad Bhagavatam because he heard it from me in Bhubaneswar, Orissa. That's another story. He says, Vyasavedi Navediva. Whether Vyasadeva understands the Bhagavatam or not, I don't know. I can't say. Understanding Srimad Bhagavatam is not a cheap thing. Bhaktya Bhagavatam Grayam Nabudhyana Chitikaya. He says, The only way you can understand Srimad Bhagavatam is by bhakti. Na buddhya, not with your intelligence. Mukunda may be a very learned person. He's a lawyer and a banker, and very educated. You may memorize every verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. Once I was invited to speak at a big Pandal program in Orissa. They had about 25,000 people came there because the governor of Orissa was coming. They sent a car for us. And riding in the car with me is another speaker at the program. And he was a professor from the university. This man was amazing. He'd memorized the entire Bhagavad Gita by heart, every verse. And he knew thousands of verses from the Bhagavatam. And not only that, he knew hundreds of maybe thousands of verses from Chaitanya Charitamrita and other books of the Goswamis like Lalita Madhav and Vidagdha Madhav. He's an amazing person. He knew more verses maybe than everybody in our movement put together. Amazing person. But what was his understanding? He started telling me, yes, Jagannath's very special. You know, he's an incarnation of Buddha. And then he was telling me that it's okay to eat fish. Fish are very good. It's good for the brain. And he's smoking cigarettes while we're riding in the car. So what's the value of his knowledge? My dear devotees, this is a very, very important thing to understand. We can't approach Srimad Bhagavatam on our own. Many devotees, they think, as Srila Prabhupada said in one lecture, he said that some people say, what is the use of accepting guru? I'll just read the book, what Prabhupada said in Mumbai in one lecture. He said, of course, they have a very bad experience. Have you ever met such a person? There's many such persons today who have a bad experience. And they don't have faith in hearing from anyone. They only have faith in Srila Prabhupada. I can understand. Because they had a bad experience. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he describes in Jiva Dharma in chapter 12, for various reasons, common people do not easily develop faith in exalted personalities who are still living, whereas they tend to develop great faith in the activities of Mahajanas who've passed away. The common thing. They don't have faith in Guru. And accepting Guru is a very difficult thing. Because you have to surrender to them. But if you don't surrender to Guru, you won't be able to understand Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada, he describes this in many different places. He writes in Chaitanya Charitamrita Antalila, chapter 7, text 53, if one wants to learn the meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam, one must take lessons from a realized soul. One should not proudly think that one can understand the transcendental loving service of the Lord simply by reading books. One must become a servant of a Vaishnava. As Narottam Das Thakur has confirmed, Chadiya Vaishnava Seva Nishara Payechi Keba. One cannot be in a transcendental position unless one very faithfully serves a pure Vaishnava. One must accept a Vaishnav. Ado Guru Padashrayam. And then by questions and answers, one should gradually learn what pure devotional service to Krishna is. That is called the Parampara system. Don't think it's a cheap thing. And we may say, but I can read Prabhupada's books. I can understand the subject matter. Why should I go to the trouble and accept a guru? Many of the gurus have fallen down. It's a big problem. If I take initiation from someone and surrender to someone and I get some spiritual name and later on they fall down and go away, it's very embarrassing. Nobody will give me proper respect. So I'll just accept Srila Prabhupada. I'll just read Prabhupada's books. But we should understand, we should think about this very deeply. Yesterday, we went to downtown Johannesburg, and we did Harinam. And before we were doing Harinam, I saw one fellow who was laying down on the street. And he was very, very dirty. He had old pants on, they were completely torn. He had no knees in them, and he was very bad smelling. He was living there on the street. He was laying there drunk unconscious. Now, you might go to him and push him. Hey, wake up. And you can give him Srimad Bhagavatam. Read this book. And he may look over at the book and he vomits. And he looks at the book again. What will he understand of this book? He may understand it's a book. Maybe. He'll probably forget about that in a few hours. So what does he understand of Srila Prabhupada's book? Then go to the university and find some boy sitting in the classroom, sitting next to a very beautiful girl. And he's just looking at the girl all the time. Give him the same book. What will he understand? And then you may go and visit a professor, like my friend, in the university. He's a Sanskrit professor, and he knows Srimad Bhagavatam so well, but he's smoking and drinking. What does he understand of Srimad Bhagavatam? Then come to some new bhakta here in the temple who's been hearing Srimad Bhagavatam regularly. He understands Bhagavatam better than all of them. And then go to Parthasarathi Maharaj or go to Radha Govinda Maharaj and see what they understand of Srimad Bhagavatam. Obviously, it's a very logical, obvious thing. There's a gradation in understanding. And this understanding comes by devotion. Although it's a popular thing today that devotees don't have faith in Guru, and they simply think, I'll just hear from Srila Prabhupada, I'll just read the books, and I'll understand everything. Prabhupada says they may read Bhagavad Gita 100 times, they may read 1,000 times, but they won't understand a single word because they haven't approached Guru. In 1974, Madhudwisa Prabhu, on a morning walk with Srila Prabhupada in Melbourne, Australia, asked Srila Prabhupada a question. They said, Prabhupada, can we understand your books? Can someone become a devotee just by reading your books? And Prabhupada said, no. The devotees were very astonished. It's not something Srila Prabhupada generally says. Prabhupada said so many things completely to the contrary of that. Prabhupada said, just by touching the book, someone can become a devotee. Just by seeing someone selling the book, they can become a devotee. But this time, when they asked Prabhupada the question directly, can they become a devotee just by reading your book? Prabhupada said, no. They were very astonished. They said, well, what about reading your purports? And Prabhupada said twice, no, no. He said, it's not that you just read the book, but you have to approach a person. You have to have a relationship with a person. Because Krishna is a person. The Bhagavatam is a person. If somebody writes a book about Chaitanya Prabhu, can I develop a relationship with you just by reading the book? No. What are we thinking? But this book is different. Yes, this book is different. Premamoyi Bhagavata. It's full of Krishna Prem. It's Mahachintya Bhagavata. It's completely inconceivable. Duistani Bhagavati, Namashuni Matra, Granta Bhagavata are Krishna Kripa Patra. There are two Bhagavats. The Granta Bhagavata, the book Bhagavat, and our Krishna Kripa Patra, the Bhakta Bhagavat, the devotee Bhagavat. Jame bhakta jana parta name bhakta sate janaha madbhaktanam chaye bhaktas te me bhakta tamo mataha. I quoted this verse yesterday from the Adi Purana. Krishna tells Arjuna, those people who say they're my devotees, they're not my devotee. And that means Krishna. That means Krishna in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. That means Krishna in the form of his name. That means Krishna in the form of his deity. You may think you're a great devotee. You may be reading Srimad Bhagavatam every day. You may be chanting 2 or 3 lakhs a day, the Hare Krishna mantra, but you're not a devotee. Krishna says that. It doesn't matter the number of things you're doing or the amount of time you're putting into it. What matters is you have to approach a person. Jaho Bhagavata Pada Vaishnavarastani Ekanta Ashraya Kori Chaitanya Charani. You have to approach the Bhakta Bhagavat and hear from him. Otherwise, there's no way to understand Srimad Bhagavatam. In this regard, we wrote an article recently called The Qualification to Hear. And therein, we quoted from Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's Saartha Varshini Tika on this verse, Tadvini Pratipatena Pariprasena Sevaya. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he says there, Tat Jnana Praptaye Prakaram Ahad Tat Iti Pranipatena Jnanapadeshtari Guru Dandavan Namaskarena Bhagavan Kuto Yam Me Sansara Katam Nivartishyati Iti Pariprasena Cha Sevaya Tat Paricharyaya Cha. He says this verse speaks about the process for acquiring divine knowledge. It's gained by offering respects, bowing down to the Guru, and by asking questions from him such as, O Master, why am I in this world of misery? How will I be relieved from this world of birth and death? That knowledge is attained by service to the Guru. In the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, there's a story of Koresh. Koresh was an amazing devotee. Many, many stories about him. He was a very, very learned person. He was a disciple of the great Acharya, Ramanuja. And once he approached Ramanujacharya and asked him, Guru Maharaj, can you please explain the meaning to me of this famous verse from Bhagavad Gita, 1866, Sarva Dharman Parityagya. Mame kam sharanam brajaham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha yishyami masuchah. Does anybody not know that verse? Raise your hand if you don't know it. It's okay. Do you know the verse? No? Okay, that's good. You're being honest. Krishna says to Arjuna that sarva dharmam pratyag. You should abandon all varieties of religion. And mame kam sharanam braja. You should surrender to me. And if you do that, aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha yishyami masuchaha. I'll deliver you from all sinful reactions. Masuchaha, you don't fear. This is considered to be the charma shloka, or most important verse in Bhagavad Gita. When Koresh asks his Guru Maharaj that, he says that this is not such an easy thing to understand. He said, only someone who gives up all independent desires and serves as guru absolutely for an entire year can understand this verse. No one else can understand it. But we think, I'll just read it and I'll understand it. But Ramanuja is saying, only someone who completely surrenders to their guru and serves him for 1 year, that person can understand the verse. Koresh said, I'm Guru Maharaj. Life is very uncertain. I may die before a year is finished. Please give me your mercy and explain this verse. And then Ramanuja told him, okay, I'll give you a shortcut method. If you maintain yourself for 1 month by begging from door to door without knowing where your next meal will come from, if you do this service for me, then you'll understand the meaning of this verse. You'll understand what it means, full surrender. And at that time, I'll instruct you in the meanings of this verse. And so Koresh did that. And Ramanuja explained the verse to him. For us, this is a bit of a cultural difficulty. We don't understand this. Because today we have Google. We have our cell phone. We just type in whatever we want to know. We just type in da, 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 da. And Google, and we get the answer in 1 minute. What is the necessity of surrender to a guru? I can get so much information just in 1 moment. And we see sometimes people, they're very, very much enamored by information. I've even seen, very sadly, sometimes devotees leave this movement for information. Because they say, ISKCON devotees, they don't know very much. They just know Hari Bol, Hari Bol. They worship Srila Prabhupada and they distribute some books, but they don't know Sanskrit or Bengali or so many high things. I'll go this other place to get some higher information. But Lord Brahma, who's a lot more knowledgeable than all of us put together, he says it won't work. In the 10th canto, chapter 14, in Srimad Bhagavatam, he says, Gyane prayasam hudapashya namanta eva jivanti sanmukaritam bhavadiya vartam stane stita shuti gatam danuvan manobir ye prayaso ajita jito pasitaistri lokyam. He said, forget it. Gyane prayasa mudapasya namanta eva. Your information gathering is useless. It's a waste of time. If you work hard to acquire so much information, but you're not serving guru, what will be the result? You'll get a lot of information maybe, but all that you'll get is pride. You won't get dibya gyan that Maharaj was speaking about yesterday. That which enters the heart, which comes shushusho shudadanasya vasudeva katarujya shan mahat sevaya vipra punya tirtana sevana, which comes by serving a mahatma. So Lord Brahma, the great authority, in Srimad Bhagavatam, he says, Gyane prayasam udapashinamanta eva. Your gyan is a waste of time. Jivanti sanmukaritam bhavadiyavartam. What is our life, jivanti? Satmukaritam bhavadiyavartam. Hearing bhavadiyavarta, the topics of Krishna, directly about Krishna, Krishna katha, not just about vanashram dharma, or vegetarianism, or reincarnation, or God exists, but we want to hear Krishna katha directly. This is bhavadiyavartam. And we have to hear jivanti. Our life is to hear from the satmuk, from the mouth of a person, not from a tape recorder. Another type of people, they say, what's the use of accepting all these gurus? I'll just hear the tapes of Srila Prabhupada. Very good. I can memorize all the lectures. I'll watch all the videos. What do I have to go to a guru for? But they're not thinking very clearly. What if, Prabhuji, you're sitting up here in the back room and you're watching a video of Srila Prabhupada and somebody comes in and they're crying. They said, oh my God, I don't know how it's possible, Prabhuji, but Srila Prabhupada just walked into the temple room and he sat down. He's going to give class right now. Come, come. And Mukunda says, why do I have to go? I'm watching the video. It's the same thing. Would you do that? I don't think anyone would do that. There's a difference in the video and in hearing from a person. Prabhuji shaking his head, yes. That's the difference. There's some personal exchange when we're sitting in the presence of the devotee. We can watch the video. I like to watch videos of my Guru Maharaj and Srila Prabhupada, and there's great benefit in that. We can read the books. There's great benefit in that also. But you, if you want to understand the book, if you want to understand the video or the tape, service is required. Service to a person. And there's no shortcuts. And you can't cheat. You can't cheat Krishna. Maybe I can cheat all of you. I can memorize a lot of information. And maybe I'll impress you. Oh, he knows so many verses. Very impressive person. But I can't cheat Krishna. I can't go to the spiritual world and knock on the door. Here I am. I know 100 verses. Let me inside. They'll say, get lost. Where is your Gurudev? Who are you coming with? Doesn't matter how many verses you've memorized, how much information you've acquired. We have to render service. Only by service can we understand Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is a person. In his Krishna Lila Stava, Srila Sanatana Goswami, he's described very beautifully. Made ko bandhu mat sangin. Srimad Bhagavatam is my only friend. Whether my wife is my friend or not, I don't know. Sometimes she chastises me, gets angry with me. Sometimes she may not feed me. But Srimad Bhagavatam is always my friend. It's always there. Made ko bandhu mat sangin. It's my only association. I don't associate with anyone else. Only Srimad Bhagavatam. Well, excuse me, Prabhu. What are you doing sitting in with the temple with all these devotees? We're associating with Srimad Bhagavatam. And this is how we associate with devotees. Krishna tells Uddhava in the 11th canto, the Bhagavatam, Paraspara Nukatanam Pavanam Bhagavad Yasaha. We should learn how to associate with devotees. We don't know how. Going to a movie and watching some Hollywood drama with some devotee. I went with Mukundi. He had tilak on. It's sadhu sangha. It's not sadhu sangha. Just sitting around and criticizing, complaining about things. That's not sadhu sangha. But Babuji, the devotee had a dhoti on and a kurta and neck beads. It's sadhu sangha. It's not sadhu sangha. Paraspara anukatanam pavanam bhagavad yasaha. We should come together and hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Because madeka bandhu matsangin. This is our only association. Madguru manmahadana. This Srimad Bhagavatam is my Gurudev. This Srimad Bhagavatam is my great wealth. Manistaraika, this is the only thing which will deliver me. Madbhagya, this is my good fortune. Madananda, this is my happiness. Namostute, I offer my obeisances to Srimad Bhagavatam. We should learn the science of hearing. This is the purpose of this Krishna consciousness movement. This is why we have these temples. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said, we've created these temples simply so people can come together and hear Srimad Bhagavatam. If all that we do is we make buildings and collect money to make more buildings, then we're not the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. We'll become the International Society for Construction Consciousness. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said that our purpose is not to make buildings. Our purpose is to hear Srimad Bhagavatam with devotees. And simply by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam in the proper way, in a submissive way, by asking questions, pariprashna, pranipatena, pariprashna, and by rendering service, by acting upon what we've heard, then very quickly, Krishna will enter into your heart and will have Krishna prema. Very quickly, we'll see Krishna directly. There's a very wonderful story in this regard that we sometimes tell. There was one devotee who was living in West Bengal. And he was a Vaishnav. And toward the end of his life, he decided, I want to go to Vrindavan. I want to dedicate my life to the Lord. So that devotee, he came. His name was Radharaman Ghosh. And he began wandering about in Braj, chanting japa. And one day, as Radharaman Ghosh was going through the forest of Braj, he heard a sound. Shinvatam Svakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtanaha Hidyanja Shoya Bhadrani Vidunoti Suritsutam. He heard this verse from the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, and the person who was reciting it was crying. Radharaman Ghosh thought, what is this? He came very quietly. And he saw there, in a secluded place, sitting in front of a black tamal tree, there was an old sadhu. And he was reciting Srimad Bhagavatam and crying. Radharaman Ghosh said, this is pretty far out. Okay? He sat down and was listening. And then after some time, an hour or so, he saw the old man was finishing the reading, and Radharaman Ghosh very quietly got up and left. The next day he came back there again and he saw there was the old man again reading. And every day Radharaman Ghosh started coming there. One day when he went there, he stepped on a twig and made some noise. And the old man turned and saw him. And he motioned, come sit next to me. The old man told him, you'll be the second listener to the Bhagavatam. Radharaman Ghosh was looking around. Second listener? Yes. First listener is Krishna. He's inside the tree here. He's hearing. Radharaman Ghosh said, These Hare Krishna people, they're a little, little funny, okay. But he sat down and he listened. And every day the old man was reciting Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, second canto, third canto, fourth. Until finally he came to the end of the 12th canto of the Bhagavatam. The recitation was finished. And when he finished reading the Bhagavatam, suddenly an amazing thing happened. The tree in front of them suddenly broke open. And a dazzling effulgence was coming out. And Radha Mohan Ghosh could hardly see. And he looked there and he saw inside of that tree was Krishna with a flute to his lips. And he was smiling at Radha Mohan Ghosh. Radha Mohan Ghosh fainted on the ground. It was a very good Srimad Bhagavatam class. And sometime later, when he regained external consciousness, he found that he was lying with his head on the lap of the old sadhu. And that old sadhu was rubbing his head. And when the old sadhu saw that Radha Raman Ghosh had come to external consciousness, the sadhu said, "Now, Radha Raman, you've seen my Radha Raman." He said, "Now, you should recite Srimad Bhagavatam every day." In the Skanda Purana, it's described, Srimad Bhagavatam Shastram Yatya Bhagavatar Yadar Kirtite Shriyate Chapi Shri Krishna's Tatra Nishchitam. Don't be disappointed and think, oh, there's nobody coming this morning for Srimad Bhagavatam class. I prepared so much. I have so many things to say. But there's nobody here who came. Don't think like that. When you recite Srimad Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam Shastram Yatcha Bhagavatara Yada Kirtate Shriyate Chapi Shri Krishna's Tatra Nishchitam. Wherever, whenever, and whenever devotees recite the Srimad Bhagavatam, you should know for certain that Krishna comes running to hear. You don't see anyone in the room, but it's okay. Srila Prabhupada in New York City, when he first went there, he was staying in a small room by himself and he was giving lectures to the wall. Not to the wall. He was giving lectures to Krishna. Krishna was personally coming and hearing from Srila Prabhupada. Now you may say, okay, how much do we have to recite? The Skanda Purana describes Srimad Bhagavatam Yatra Shlokam Slokardam Eva Cha Tachapi Bhagavan Krishna Balavi Bir Virajate. You may recite one verse, you can recite half a verse. And Krishna will come. He doesn't come by himself. Tatrapi Bhagavan Krishna Balavi Bir Virajate. He comes along with the gopis of Braj. This is the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam, of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. I once heard from my old friend Padma Lochan Prabhu, the disciple of Srila Prabhupada, and he was staying in Soho Street Temple in London when Srila Prabhupada came there in 1971. And he said that he worked very hard before Prabhupada came to make a Vyasasan. He was staying up all night long trying to finish the Vyasasan before Prabhupada came. Prabhupada came and he sat down, he gave a lecture, and then afterwards he went upstairs to his room. And one of the devotees came downstairs a few minutes later and said, "Hey, Padma Lochan, Prabhupada's calling for you." "Oh, yes." So he went upstairs. "Perfection of life, your Gurudev is calling for you." "Yes, Guru Maharaj, what is it?" And Srila Prabhupada said, "It's a nice Vyasasan you made. Now I want you to make two more." "Yes, Srila Prabhupada." Prabhupada said, "Small ones." He said, "One for Lord Brahma and one for Narad Muni, because they're coming every day to hear Srimad Bhagavatam." And so they did. They made two small Vyasasans, one for Lord Brahma and one for Narad Muni. He said, "Understand, Srimad Bhagavatam is such a thing. It's a living person. We offer prayers to Srimad Bhagavatam. We can't approach Srimad Bhagavatam without a devotee. Without rendering service, we don't have Shravana Adhikar. We can't really hear. And the only thing will happen is Shunilena Sunakana. It'll go in one ear and it'll come out the other. If we hear Srimad Bhagavatam without being Nishtha to our Gurudev, without rendering service to our Gurudev, then The only result would be we may get some information. And that information will simply be the source of our pride. But we won't get bhakti. We won't really understand Srimad Bhagavatam in the proper way, as Maharaj Pariksit did. So we'll stop here. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samabeda Bhakta Binda ki, Vansha Kopadadubhischa, Kupa Sindhu Bhyevacha, Patitanam Pavanibhyo, Vaishnabhibhyo, Namo Namaha. So are there any questions or comments from anyone? Mataji, speak loudly. I didn't say that. Ramanujacharya said that.
So that's the process. We know from Bhagavad Gita also from 434. So how do we serve the spiritual master personally? Oh. And also the spiritual master is not always present in the vicinity where we live. He's always traveling and preaching himself. So how do we still serve the spiritual master?
Okay. So the question is, and your first question was, how do we serve the spiritual master? Okay, and how do we, it's very difficult, he's not present with us all the time. So there's different types of service we can render to Guru. This is a big subject matter. We spoke on this at length in Durban a few days ago. We serve by hearing. Once Sukadev Maharaj, our sannyasi in ISKCON, who preaches extensively in India, he came to Bhubaneswar. And he was staying there for a week or so and hearing class every day from our Guru Maharaj. And after a week or so, one day he came to me. I don't know exactly why he came to me. But he came to me and said, Madhavananda, could you please take me to your Guru Maharaj? I have some question for him. Sometimes devotees would do like that. I don't know why. So I was very happy to get some chance to be with my Guru Maharaj. I went. And Sukadev Maharaj is a very simple devotee. He came and he said, Maharaj, I don't understand. He said, you're giving class every day. There's a few hundred devotees here listening. But they're not going out in book distribution. They're not going out and doing service. So why they should be doing service? Why they're only hearing? And my Guru Maharaj, he nodded his head and he made this look on his face, which I had come to understand meant he was pleased with somebody. He was pleased with his question. And he told them, Are Baba, what kind of service will they do? Unless you hear from Guru, what service will you do? So it begins, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam, Navavidhi Bhakti begins by hearing. First of all, we have to hear. If you don't hear, what kind of service will you do? What will you know? You won't have a proper understanding, even if you read the books. There was one man. He's a farmer in West Virginia. And one day he was walking on the streets in one of the cities there. And he looked, he notices he's walking by the streets. There's a garbage can. And he happened to glance in the garbage can and he saw there was a book. Brand new, perfectly good-looking book. He reached in and pulled it out. It said, Bhagavad Gita as it is. Well, that's far out. Took it home with him. He started reading Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita. This is amazing. And he was reading it. Srila Prabhupada said that someone should chant the Maha Mantra 16 rounds a day. So he started trying to do that. He was by himself. He had no devotee association. After some time, a few years or so, he met some devotees one day. And they said, you know, we have a community called New Vrindavan. Oh, so he went there. And he went to see the devotees, and he was speaking as they do in the South. He said, I don't understand how y'all do it. I've been trying to chant this Hare Krishna mantra 16 rounds. It takes me 8 hours to do it. Because he thought that when you chant the Hare Krishna mantra, you sing it. And so he was trying to sing 16 rounds a day. And the devotees told him, no. You chant like this. So we have to hear. If we want to render service, we have to hear from Gurudev. This is a function of the disciple. If you don't hear from your Gurudev, you're a bogus person. Just wanting to get some initiation, trying to get some cheap prestige. Oh, I was initiated by Gurudev. I'm a disciple such and such Maharaj. Some cheap prestige. It begins by hearing. What does Gurudev want? What is his mood? And that hearing goes on always. After the disappearance of my revered spiritual master, we were very confused. And we went to see one great saint. His name was Srila Bhakti Pramod Puri Maharaj. He's a godbrother of Srila Prabhupada, disciple Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, and a great Mahatma. And we went to him, we said, Maharaj, what do we do? Our Guru Maharaj is gone. And he told us, don't think your Gurudev is gone. You should think that your Gurudev now, he's just hiding in the bushes and watching to see what you're going to do. Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Sajjana Toshini, he says that if a disciple thinks his Gurudev is gone, or my Gurudev is dead, he says, your Gurudev's not dead, you're dead. You're man morabhav, you're brain dead. Your Gurudev is always present, but you can't see him. We should always act like our Gurudev is standing right next to us. Once in Los Angeles, there was one devotee who was standing downstairs having a conversation with some other devotee, and they were criticizing, you know, that stupid temple president, he's doing like this and this. And they were speaking so much prajalpa. After a few minutes, some devotee, Prabhupada's servant, came downstairs and he said, excuse me, Prabhu, do you know Srila Prabhupada's been standing upstairs at the window listening to you for the last half an hour? The devotees became very embarrassed. We should behave as though my Gurudev is standing right next to me. I'm not such a fortunate person. I had very little association with my Gurudev, only 3 years. When I first got initiated, my Guru Maharaj, one of the first things he told me, he said, so you come to India immediately. I had no money. So I was going out on the street and selling books. And I was working very hard, and I'm not a very big collector or anything. The amount of money I had to collect to pay some debts and things and go to India would usually take me maybe 6 months or a year or something. Somehow in 2 weeks, I collected that money. And it was very difficult going out there. It was very cold. It was in Seattle, Washington. It was wet and raining and cold. But I had an amazing experience. I felt my Guru Maharaj was right next to me the whole time. I felt so close with him. Although he was in India, he was traveling, he was so far away, but I felt like he was right next to me. A year later, my Guru Maharaj told me once, he said, I want you to travel with me and be my servant. It was a very good fortune. So for a month and a half, I traveled with him, and I had an interesting experience. He was the closest person in my life for a month and a half, because we were in Europe. I'd never been to Europe before. We were going so many places. I didn't know anybody. But I was with him 24 hours a day, or maybe 23 and a half hours a day. I wasn't with him when he would go in the toilet. He would sleep maybe 3 hours a night, and then he would wake up in the morning, and I would jump up, and I would run into the bathroom and put some toothpaste on his toothbrush and do some things. And then he would go in the bathroom. While he was in the bathroom, I would sit up against the door and sleep. I was very tired. And after 15 or 20 minutes or so, then he would push the door and I would wake up and dry off his feet. And so, I was with him. I was sleeping under his bed most nights and places. And he was very affectionate to me. He was my best friend. I didn't know anybody else there. When you go to a place and you don't know anyone, you feel very nervous. So he was the best friend that I had. And then when we flew back from Heathrow Airport to Delhi, I was flying on the plane, sitting right next to him, and I had one of the most amazing experiences in my life. He was sitting right next to me, and for 4 hours, he wasn't chanting japa, he wasn't talking, he wasn't taking prasadam, wasn't reading a book, wasn't looking around, wasn't watching a movie. He had his eyes open, he wasn't sleeping. He was just sitting and looking without moving, straight ahead of him. And suddenly I had the creepiest feeling I've ever had in my life. I realized, I don't know him. I don't know him at all. Here I thought he was my best friend, somebody I'm very close with, sleeping under the bed, giving a massage at night, this and this. And suddenly I realized, I'm nowhere near him. Maybe I'm millions of miles away from him. I have no idea what he's thinking, what he's feeling. So I had these two experiences. Once in Seattle, collecting, and my Guru Maharaj was thousands of miles away, but he was right next to me. I felt it. I could practically touch him. And this other time, after a month of serving him and feeling so close with him, he's right next to me. And I felt, he's nowhere near me. Who's really close to Gurudev? The mosquito is very intimate with Guru, isn't he? He's right there. He's a blood brother. But he's not really associating with Gurudev. Who's really associating with Gurudev? Gopa Kumar, he met his Guru Maharaj for 5 minutes. He didn't even know who he was. His Guru Maharaj told him, chant this mantra. Didn't even explain the mantra. And then he went away. But Gopa Kumar was always associating with his Gurudev by chanting that mantra. Yo mantra sa guru sakshad. In Hari Bhakti Vilas, in Bhakti Sandarbha, Jiva Goswami quotes this verse from Brahma Varvarta Purana, that you should know your Gurudev is none different from the mantra that he gave you. We can associate with him in that way. But someone else who may be right next to Gurudev, giving him massage and associating with him all the time, he may be very, very far away from Gurudev. We should understand what it means to associate with him. And that association begins by hearing and following his instruction. And if we follow his instruction, Srila Prabhupada said, he lives forever in his divine instructions, and the follower lives with him. We're always with our Gurudev. Just like the gopis were always with Krishna, and Krishna was sending him letters, I'm always there with you. Gopis didn't like that. He sent a message with Uddhava, I'm always there with you. But the gopis, they wrote back to him, they said, we're not satisfied with that. We want to personally see you. So the same thing happens with our Gurudev. He tells us, I'm always with you. We say, Guru Maharaj, that's okay. But I want to personally see you. I want to be able to touch your lotus feet. I want to be able to do service to you. I'm not satisfied with anything else. So this is the nature of the master and the follower, the guru and the disciple. Krishna's telling the gopis, I'm always with you. You're having a dream and I'm coming to you. You don't believe it's real, but I'm actually there. And the gopis are saying, okay, that's all right. Maybe you're there, but we want to directly see you constantly. So we always want that. We want to always be with our Gurudev. Our Gurudev is always with us. Even though we can't see him, I'm very unfortunate. I can't see my Gurudev. But my Gurudev gave me instructions. He gave me personal instructions. We should desire this. My Guru Maharaj said, it's the right of the disciple to request a personal instruction from Gurudev. Gurudev gives general instructions, chant 16 rounds, serve the temple authorities, read Srimad Bhagavatam, distribute books, take prasadam. Those are general instructions for everyone. But Gurudev, I want a personal instruction. And the disciple has that right. Gurudev, what service can I do for you? And then Gurudev may tell you, you write books, you give class, you be temple president, you distribute prasadam, you do this service or that service, and you can dedicate your life to that. Without that personal instruction, after the disappearance of Gurudev, we become very confused. I've seen people who were jumping this high off the ground and shouting, Jai Gurudev. They had so much Guru Bhakti. But after Guru Maharaj left, where did they go? They all left. They didn't have personal service. We want some personal instruction from our Gurudev. And he'll always be with us in that instruction. We may not be able to see him. Then we can cry, Gurudev, I can't see you. But I'm going to do this service because you told me to do this. And even if I can't see you, even if I can't hear your voice, I'm still going to do this service. Once one devotee came to me, he said, Madhavananda, what are you doing? You should come to Vrindavan. There's one sadhu. You can associate with him. You have no association. Guru Maharaj is gone. I told them, Prabhuji, I have my service to Gurudev. And I said, can you look me in the eye and tell me that if I go to that Maharaj you're talking about in Vrindavan, that I'll be able to continue my service? And he looked away. And I told them, I said, I have faith that Guru Maharaj wants me to have Sadhu Sangha more than I want. And that if I follow his instruction in the most difficult circumstance, what is the most difficult circumstance? The most difficult circumstance is when our Gurudev is gone and we can't see him. But in spite of that, if I carry on, if I have faith in his instruction, he'll be pleased with me. And if I need Sadhu Sangha, he'll send me Sadhu Sangha. And he has. My Guru Maharaj has sent me so many wonderful Vaishnavas. He wants me to have Sadhu Sangha more than I do. But if I try on my own, if I think, if I'm Man Morabhav, I'm brain dead, and I think, oh, my Gurudev's dead, he's gone, now I have to go to someone else, I'll just commit a great offense and I'll not get anything. Okay? It's a very important subject. Anything else is there? Prabhuji? Okay.
Just want your comment on surrendering and the idea that everyone is at a different stage of Krishna consciousness in the process and their life situation, because ultimately we can't fully surrender in the way that would be required, or because given our life situation, would that sort of, does it mean that by us surrendering in our way that we can, is that an obstacle in sort of attaining Krishna?
There's no question, we can surrender. There's no obstacles. There's no obstacles. There's no obstacles. Don't think there's any obstacles. Srila Prabhupada was instructed by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta to go to the West and preach. Someone may say he didn't do it. For, I don't know, 20 years or so, Prabhupada didn't do it. And you may say he's not surrendered because he was a grihastha, he had this problem and that problem. But Prabhupada was surrendered. And he kept that instruction in his heart, and he always remembered that instruction until he finally carried it out. So it's not that, oh, I can't surrender because I have a job to work and I have a family to maintain, otherwise I would surrender. Then Krishna's not really God. But Krishna's God. He's there for everyone. It's not that only brahmacharis in the temple can surrender and someone else can't surrender. Brahmachari life is a very nice life because we can devote our full time to serving the Lord. We told a story a few days ago to Krishna Balan Prabhu, and I think maybe to Mukunda also, that in the Narada Purana, once Narada Muni, he became a little proud. And he was thinking, I'm the best of devotees. So just to confirm his understanding, he went to Lord Narayan and he said, my dear Lord, who's your best devotee? And Lord Narayan told him, oh, there's one grihastha devotee with a big family on the earth. He's my best devotee. Narada Muni said, really? Yes. And Lord Narayan told him, Narada Muni, you have mystic cities. Make yourself invisible. And you go there and spend the day with him, and you'll see. Okay. So he went there at 3 o'clock in the morning. He's waiting, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock. The man didn't wake up until 5 o'clock in the morning. Narada Muni was very disappointed. He's getting up late for Mangalartik. And then he gets up. He doesn't put on any tilak. There's no japa. He just helps get the children ready, going to school, helps a wife. And he went out in the field, started working very hard, came back an hour later for breakfast. And then he went out all day long working hard in the field. Narada Muni's watching him. Where's the artik? Where's the Bhagavatam class? Where's the japa period? Nothing's going on. What's happening? He worked hard all day long, came back in the evening. took a little something to eat and took rest. Narad Muni's thinking, I don't get it. So he went back to Lord Narayan. He said, my dear Lord, what are you talking about? This guy didn't even put tilak on. There's no Bhagavatam class, no Mangal Artik, no nothing. How is he the best of devotees? And Lord Narayan, he asked Narad Muni, they said, Narad Muni, yesterday when you were with this man, how many times did you think of me? Narad Muni said, well, tell you the truth, I didn't remember you even once. I was exhausted just following this guy around. He was working so hard, I couldn't think of anything. And Lord Narayan told him, he said, Narada, do you know that devotee was in samadhi the entire day? He was completely absorbed in thinking of me. So there's no obstacle. We think there's an obstacle. And we imagine that, oh, I would chant rounds really nice, but my wife, she's always nagging me, always this, that. I'd be practically a pure devotee by now if I didn't have to live in the Brahmachari ashram next to this other guy who's like such a slob in the bathroom. He never cleans up after himself. I'd be able to think about Krishna, but all these things are on my mind. No, there's no excuse. The environment is always friendly. Whatever situation we're in is exactly what Krishna wants us to be in. It's exactly perfect for our Nam Bhajan. And that means even if you're Arjun and you're on the battle of Kurukshetra and there's a few million people who want to kill you really badly, that's the best situation for your Nam Bhajan. That's the situation that Krishna put you in. So our bhajan begins, Tatenu Kampam Sisamikshamano Bunjana Evatmikutam Vipakam, when we accept the situation that we're in, and not make so many excuses. I can't be Krishna conscious. I have these children. I have to work a job. I have to do this and that. We should respect those devotees who are working jobs and taking care of families. They're very special Vaishnavas. All Vaishnavas are very special. We worship and respect the brahmacharis and sannyasis who are fully dedicated. But we also worship and respect those devotees who are working jobs, because it's very, very difficult to chant 16 rounds, to be Krishna conscious, and work a job. I can't do that. I'd be completely in Maya in the first day. I respect so much those devotees who are able to do that. I can't do that thing. I know many brahmacharis and sannyasis may say, I couldn't do that. We should respect those devotees. Okay? Prabhuji, you had something?
I have a question from last night's class.
Okay. Speak loudly, please.
Yeah, you were speaking about the Aishwarya Bhav in Vaikuntha and the Madhurya Bhav in Vrindavan. So, in Vrindavan, it's like Rajendra Nanda Krishna. And in Dwarka, Kurukshetra, it's Vasudeva Krishna. So, is it, and also I hear that Krishna never takes a step out of Vrindavan. So, is it one personality of Krishna that has these different modes, or are there separate personalities of Krishna?
Do you have about 2 hours? I can answer that question. We speak about that. We give a seminar sometimes about Lalita Madhav. To really properly answer that question, we should describe the entire book of Lalita Madhav. That's the point of Lalita Madhav, and it would take some time. I can tell you in a very brief way, although I don't know how much you'll understand unless we really properly fluff things out with Lalita Madhav. In Lalita Madhav, before writing Lalita Madhav, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Rupa Goswami, you write two dramas, but don't take Krishna out of Vrindavan. And Rupa Goswami wrote Vidagdha Madhav about Braj Leela, and then he wrote Lalita Madhav. And in the fourth act of Lalita Madhav, what did he do? He talked about Akura coming and taking Krishna away from Vrindavan. So, there you have it. Rupa Goswami disobeyed the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But did he? There's two considerations, aparavichar and tattavichar. By the apparent consideration, he disobeyed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order, and Krishna left Vrindavan. By the apparent consideration, Krishna left Vrindavan. How is it that Krishna doesn't leave Vrindavan, but he leaves Vrindavan? Vrindavan aparityaga parikam nagachati. He never even takes one step out of Vrindavan. You've given one answer. That is Vasudeva Krishna His forearm feature of Lord Narayan who leads Vrindavan. And it's that Vasudev Krishna who's in Dwarka, or some say in Kurukshetra. But Rupa Goswami says something different. He says that, Lalita Madhav, such a book. Krishna went to Dwarka. The gopis, he said, it's very difficult to explain this quickly. The gopis, he said, committed suicide. Radharani committed suicide. Some of the other gopis were kidnapped by Banasura. And Krishna knew that. He knew there's no hope of ever being reunited again with the gopis. And then one day, he was in place of Maharaj Bhishmaka, the father of Rukmini Devi. And he says, Rupa Goswami says, that Chandravali had been kidnapped by Rukmi, the son of Maharaj Bhishmaka, and that Chandravali, who's Radharani's cousin, became Rukmini. And Rukmini wrote a letter to Krishna, please come and kidnap me and marry me. So Krishna went there, and he kidnapped Rukmini. Krishna went there, and at first he was with Garuda, and Garuda was saying, when Rukmini came in to the assembly, they were there in disguise, Garuda and Krishna, they were dressed as dancers. And Rukmini came in, and Garuda said, wow, kind of elbowed Krishna, look at her, man, she's really a babe. Guys do that. And Krishna glanced over, he said, yeah, yeah. He said, but Krishna is not interested in mere beauty. And then suddenly Krishna, wait a minute, that's Chandravali. Oh my God. And she's about to commit suicide and jump into the fire because she has to marry Sishupal. So Krishna went and he kidnapped her. And then Maharaj Bhishmaka said, okay, this is very good. You can marry our daughter, but one condition is there. You have to make a promise. You're never going to marry anyone else. Krishna thought to himself, well, I heard the news. Radharani committed suicide. She drowned herself in the Jamuna. And all the gopis are gone. But at least I have Chandravali. Okay. So Krishna married Chandravali, who's now Rukmini. And Rupa Goswami says that Chandravali directly became Rukmini, not just an expansion. And Krishna's staying there at the house in Dwarka, his palace. Meanwhile, when Radharani committed suicide in the Jamuna, Jamuna Devi took her to her brother, Yamaraj. And they took her to Suryadev, her father. And Radharani, she's always doing Surya Puja. When she went there, she offered this jewel that she'd gotten from Shankachuda. That Krishna killed Shankachuda and took that jewel, gave it to Radharani. Radharani offered that to Suryadev. Suryadev took it, and he took Radharani. And then later on, Suryadev gave that jewel, became known as the Shamantaka jewel. And he gave Radharani to Satyajit. And Satyajit, and Satyajit took that Radharani, and she became known as Satyabhama. And Rupa Goswami says it's directly Radharani. And so they brought Satyabhama to the palace to marry Krishna, to marry Dwarkadish. And as she's going there, Radharani, Satyabhama, she was feeling very depressed. She came in the palace, the first person she met was Rukmini Chandravali. She didn't recognize Chandravali in a new form. Chandravali looked at Radharani, Satyabhama, and she also didn't recognize her, but she thought, this is big trouble. This woman is extremely beautiful. And as she enters into the palace, my husband, it's going to be a problem. She immediately thought like that. And she saw that Satyabhama Radha looked very depressed. What's wrong, my dear girl? She said, well, to tell you the truth, I'm in love with another man. My father's bringing me here to marry this Dwarkadish fellow, but I've already given my heart to some other cowherd boy. Rukmini Chandravali said, really? Don't worry. We'll make an arrangement for you. I'll send you to a place where you don't even have to hear the word man. And Radharani Satyabhama said, really? Oh, thank you so much. And they sent her to the garden they had there called Nava Vrindavan. Krishna used to go and walk in that garden every day, but Rukmini Chandravali didn't know it. And Krishna didn't know that now Radharani's there in the garden. It's a long story. But finally, Krishna and Radharani, they're reunited. And Krishna asked Radharani, do you want a boon? And Radharani said, there's only one boon that I want. We should never leave Vrindavan. And Krishna said, tatastu, so be it. And then Radharani said, but how is it possible? We're here in Dwarka. And Krishna didn't say anything. He just looked toward the east. And suddenly, Gargi, the daughter of Gargamuni, came there with Ekanangsa, Yogamaya Devi. And Yogamaya made some announcement. She said that, Radharani, don't have any doubt. You never left Vrindavan. You've been in Vrindavan this whole time. All of this has been a dream. And you've been in Vrindavan this whole time. Krishna never left Vrindavan. And this was just a dream. This is one explanation. And there's other explanations also given by our Goswamis. But this is one explanation which Rupa Goswami gives, that the Dwarkadish Krishna that we think about, who's described in Brihad Bhagavatamrita that we spoke about last night, who's crying for the gopis, he's directly Swayam Rupa Govinda Nandanandan Krishna. He's directly Krishna. He's not Vasudev Krishna. He's directly Krishna. And similarly, Kurukshetra is directly Krishna. Because the gopis were there. Radharani is there. And Jai Rupa Chinti Dasi Sei Rupa Hoy. According to the love a devotee has, the Lord manifests a corresponding form. He can't hide his form. Once Krishna manifested a forearm form of Narayan to the gopis, thought, I'll have some fun, play a joke on them. And the gopis, they saw him in the bushes. They were looking for Krishna. And they said, hey, there he is. There's the son of Nandamaraj. They all went running there and they saw, it's not Krishna, it's just God. He said, oh, Namo Narayan, our obeisance is Narayan. Can you tell us where Krishna is? And Narayan was very mysterious. He just sat there with his forearms. He didn't say anything. Gopi said, okay, Dandavach Chalo. And they went somewhere else. We want Krishna. And then Radharani came there. This happened at the place called Paita, near to Govardhan. And Krishna thought, this is really fun. I like this, huh? I'm going to do the same thing with Radharani now. And Radharani came there. Krishna's manifesting his forearms. And when Radharani came before Krishna, something happened. Two of those arms disappeared. Because Radharani is more powerful than Krishna. And Shakti is more powerful than Shaktiman. Husbands, we know this sometimes. Different kind of way. Because Jai Rupa Chinche Dasi Sei Rupa Hoy. The Lord, He's completely dependent on the devotee. And Radharani only wants to see Dvibhuj Muralidhar Shyam Sundar Krishna playing the flute. So Krishna couldn't keep those forearms. He couldn't do it. He had to manifest a two-armed form. So when Radharani appears in Dwarka, as Rupa Goswami describes in Lita Madhav, the Nandanandan Swayam Rupa Govinda Krishna has to be there. And similarly, when the gopis and the Brijbasis come to Kurukshetra, it's not Vasudev Krishna, four-handed Krishna. It's Swayam Rupa Govinda Krishna. Similarly, Jagannath and Puri. He seems like Dwarkadish Krishna, and where's Radharani? That's another big subject. Maybe we'll give a class on that in a few days. It'll take us an hour or two. But Radharani's there. Otherwise, how is it that he's a deity worshipped by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? How can we accept Radharani's not there? All the Puranas describe that he's Avatari, that he's Govinda, he's Vrindavan Bihari Krishna. But how is it if Radharani's not there? I'll just tell you very briefly in that regard. Jagannath Ashtakam describes Rasanandirada Sadasavapur Alingana Suko Jagannatha Swami Nayana Patagami Bhavatume Rasanandirada Sadasavapur Alingana Suko. Jagannath's always getting so much ecstasy from embracing Radharani to his chest. I won't say any more now. There's a lot more to be said. There's a lot more pramanas in this discussion. But just accept the Jagannatha Ashtakam says that Radharani is always there with Jagannath. Otherwise, how can he be Vrijananandan Krishna, Vrindavan Bihari Krishna? We can't accept that. Okay? Is that an right answer? Something more?
Maybe a 10-second comment.
Okay.
You know, I used to live in Vrindavan in the Krishna Varana Ashram in 1998. Maybe sometimes you hear people speak well, they preach well, and they don't behave well. And sometimes some people behave well, but they don't speak well. But, you know, you might not know me, but I saw you on many occasions. You used to bring one old sadhu and come, especially for Prabhupada's disappearance day. And the respect that you showed to the sadhu was so touching to the heart. So, you know, sometimes when people speak, you don't remember much of what they speak. But what they do and how they act, you remember more of that. So I have this memory of you showing so much of respect to that old sadhu. Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Prabhupada. This is the nature of Vaishnavas. Rupa Goswami, or excuse me, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, even when there's no good qualities, a sadhu sees good qualities, even when there's nothing good. So I hope I can become something what you see in me, Prabhu. Thank you. Anything else is there? Okay. Thank you all so much. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveda Bhaktarvinda ki, Gopremanandi, Vansha Kalpadarubhischa, Kripa Sindhubhyeva cha, Patitanam Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo Namo.